Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and God bless you. Welcome to Morning Manna. This is your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle, on this last day of 2017. I'm greeting you in Jesus' joy, excited about where we are and the fact that we are crossing over to new year, new opportunities, new victories, glory to God, new joy, new purpose. Everything is just new, and it is time to be excited. I pray that you are in that place of expectation, and if you aren't, then I pray that you will be by the time we get to the end of this broadcast. But truly, this is an awesome time to be functioning in the earth. Amen. Glory to God. So let us pray. Father, we bless you. We honor and magnify you. We give you praise, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy unto us. We do thank you that you brought us to the end of another year, and we honor you, and we adore you, and we thank you for it. And Father, we just pray that we continue to be all that you would call us to be in the earth. You will continue to move through us with the power and might of the Holy Spirit, that you will continue just to receive our praise and our worship unto you. And for that, we give you praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher, our leader, and our guide, bringing clarity and bringing those things that we need in order to bear witness not only of who we are on the earth, but to the God we serve, and we thank you. I thank you for every listener, Father. We just bless them today. Continue to lift them up. Continue to ask that you meet them at the place where they are and take them to the place where they need to be according to your perfect will. And for that, we give you praise. And Father, if I'm praying, I lift up those individuals that are grieving in this hour. I lift up the bereaved. I pray, Father God, for your peace and your shalom to encompass them about, to just capture them where they are, Father, and bring them just a steadiness and a peace and an assurance that only you can do in this troubling season of their life. So, Father, we just thank you for them. We thank you for the prayers that are covering them, and we just give you praise for it all, for you are God of all things, and we thank you. So we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, it's good to be here on this last day of the year. And I am just, I'm excited. And someone says she stays excited. I said, well, yeah, I guess I do. But I'm excited because God keeps unfolding things. And he's unfolding them before all of us. It's just such an amazing season to be in. And when we are sensitive to the time and season and the God of times and seasons, there's always these surprises that he kind of springs on us, amen, and it kind of takes the sting out of whatever negative encounter we may be facing. But God has a way of just showing up or causing someone to show up, causing a revelation to drop in our mind. He just does what he does, amen. So I am, once again, excited about this season. There's another shift happening within the shift, and I need to capture this before we cross over into the new year and pray that you guys catch it with me. But God is doing some amazing unveiling, if you would, about the prophets, the role of the prophets, and he's been, I guess, processing us to this particular moment for some time. So I need to share with you this morning something that he has been saying and doing over the last couple of days. And also, I don't know, I may surprise everybody and do a Facebook Live at midnight just to be in that message as we cross over into a new year. But there is an amazing, there's something amazing going on with this prophet component of the body of Christ. I remember shortly after Thanksgiving, I was sitting at my desk, and I got tickled because it was impressed upon me that the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, it looks like everybody's chasing after the apostolic. Everybody's trying to be an apostle. And that was the height of activity. And it was almost as if I could, it was impressed upon me while everybody was running, not everybody, while many were running after the apostolic, Holy Ghost was looping back to get the prophets. And that was so funny. Okay. And it was like, you know, surprise, surprise. So, and I, you know, I enjoyed that moment. But as I am processing through these days, that reality is striking a chord in me and others. But yeah, he is doing something with the prophets. And let me caution some of you that would say quickly, well, I'm not a prophet. Be careful of what you say you're not. Because until God tells you you're not, and you don't know that kind of verbiage speaks of false pride or false humility, which is pride, and then it also denies God his rightful place and authority to decide or determine what we are, since he created us to be in the earth at which he created us to be. So be careful of those kind of loose statements. I hear them often, and it's it can create issues with us, between us and the Father. So if that's what he's called us to be, then we need to inquire with him and find out, get the information we need, so that we do not give the enemy an opportunity to get in and start stirring discord in our spirit. It's a lot of things that we do out of our humanity that we need to bring in alignment with the spirit. And one of the things is to make sure that we do not fall in that trap of false humility, which I say is nothing but pride in our statements of who we are and who we can't be and who he did not call. And come on, let's get on track. On track here, that's another message, but I just needed to get that out there, especially as we begin in a crossover into a new season. God is, while he's moving in such a manner in our midst, I would dread to be on the wrong track, going in the wrong direction, simply because of what I think. I want to align with his purpose, and we all probably share the same sentiment, actually. But anyway, today's message, I put a post out, and those of you that can see the episode information, I put a post out on the 28th, I guess it was, and about a word to prophets. And I wanted to share that with you, because last night I had an opportunity to sit and fellowship and dine with eight prophets, and it wasn't a planned encounter. It wasn't planned by us. It was planned and ordained by God. But it was just such a moment in time, and such a clear indication that God has set it up, and that he was doing something. He's doing something in the earth that's dealing with prophets right now. And we need to pray to be sensitive to what that is that he may be doing. Let me first by saying that prophecy and the prophet are two entirely different gifts. And sometimes we use them interchangeably because that's the way we hear them. But all that prophesy are not prophets, yet all prophets prophesy. Okay, two different Greek words, two different definitions, two different meanings. And I'm not going to go into that at this point, but it looks like we're going to be teaching. We're going to hear the sound of the teaching of and by prophets for a minute until it impacts the body of Christ at the point that it needs to in this hour. There's just something unveiling. God's unveiling something in the season. So when I started with the message on I guess it was Thursday, I identified Wow. The prophet said I was speaking about, or the scriptures, I should say, that I was referencing. And if you would jot those down so that you would have them in your view, those are 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and 29, 1 Corinthians 14, 29, and 14, 32. Ephesians 2 and 20, 3 and 5, 4 and 11, and yeah, those are the ones that I identified, and I'm going to take a minute and go through those. The first one is Ephesians 1, 12, verses 28 and 29. Those of you that attended the conference, the realignment conference we did past April, we know that that was the text that the scripture verses that the Lord had given us for that gathering. And it says, and God has set some in the body, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities, and tongues. 29, are all prophets, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. Okay, and I'm not going to teach on that. I just wanted to read that out for your hearing. The next one is 1 Corinthians 14, verses 29 and 32. Verse 29 is, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. I'm sorry, 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And I'll tell you why I chose to do it this way. And then in Ephesians 2, 20, as I'm turning my pages, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 3, 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Ephesians 4:11, of course, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And that those are the scriptures that I wanted to highlight. I did that because when I began to put this word out, it's because I wanted to define just who I was talking to, and or just who the Lord was stressing, and that we're talking to the prophets, not to those who prophesied, but to the prophets. And it's interesting, if you really think about it, how much those two words are interchanged. I just mentioned that earlier, how we're using, every time we say prophet, we automatically, when I say we, it's indicated that people automatically think of prophecy. Okay, or prophesying, when that word prophet, seldom do they relate to the function of the prophet outside of the gift of prophecy. The prophet is a function. The prophecy is a gift. Okay, it's a difference. So we want to be able to understand that so that we can bear correct witness to the word. Let me just say this in the midst of that, that you will find, we are finding that God is taking us deeper in revelation of the word in this hour. This transition is bringing that portion of the Olivet Discourse when Jesus was talking to the disciples and explaining to them about his future leaving, and that he was comforting them and telling them that he would not leave them comfortless. They were going to send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. But he said one of his assignments would be to lead us into all truth. Well, to lead us into all truth says to me that there's more truth yet to be revealed. Amen. There's some more that God wants us to understand. And so we're in a season where there is a depth of revelation that's being revealed using double words here, revealed in this hour. And it's as if we can read through a scripture and we can read through it again now, and it takes us into a whole different depth and a whole different more of interpretation, not different interpretation, but a deeper interpretation. There's something going on with that. So even as we go back and do our Bible study, we should expect for the Holy Spirit to take us deeper, because this is a season that we're in. So I'm saying that to once again say that we have to be careful that we have the verbiage, the language and understanding of what Holy Spirit is saying in his word in this hour. And you will find in many instances that you're being drawn back to the word. And that's the Holy Spirit drawing us back, because there's information that we need in this season of transition if we're going to make a successful transition in what God is doing. Amen. So that was the purpose of identifying those scriptures. And then I ended that sentence and saying, and the prophetic threads of the prophets identified in the Hebrew text. And so these are the Old Testament prophets. There's still a line that draws us together. You know, the Old Testament did not die out and the New Testament was birthed. No, it's all a covenant of God, okay? That's why I use that term, the Hebrew text, and not Old Testament. But so many in the body of Christ think we can just kind of pigeonhole the Old Testament. We don't have any need for it when that's the farthest thing from the truth. Jesus was concealed in the Old Testament. He was revealed in the New. Well, if you shut down the Old Testament, then you shut out part of who he is. And so, among other things. So anyway, I wanted to clarify that. In the message that I posted, I spoke about the fact that the many that had been called of God had been experienced the spirit of rejection in their ability to move in their particular callings, and that they bore the sting of all out attempts to deny them of their rightful place in the body of Christ. And so Father began to give some definition. He helped us understand some things. He said first he wanted us to know that all was not lost, that what he had ordained was going to come to pass. And that he reminded us that no one can deny or delay his purposes, which he has designed before the foundation of the earth. And that he would have us also know that those denials and delays were simply there to prove that they had no power to sway his eternal purposes. Okay, so God has said, I put some things in order, I put them in before the foundation of the earth. Man has not the power or the authority or the ability to shift, change, or stop them. Everything man does in order to stop or shift or change actually heightens the individual's place in getting in position. The very thing that's intended to take us out is the very thing God uses as a stepping stone to get us in, a step to get us in. The very thing that's trying to cut us asunder is the very thing that raises us up. And of course, we get to that place when we put our trust in him and begin to understand. I may not understand it, but as long as I'm trusting him, he's got this. Amen. And that kind of takes a sting out of some of the most difficult things in life, because at the end of the day, the very thing God had designed in the beginning is the very thing we're going to walk in and walk through and walk out. Amen. So we want to be able to capture those realities so that we can function in that manner in which God has given us. As we're seeing this transition bring us around into the fruit of the intent of the cross, okay, the intent of the whole resurrection event, and what Christ did through that, what God did through the sacrifice, shows us that we've come to another place, another place in Revelation, another place to move us forward. Now, let me say this to you, that we are in the season of the prophets. Because they hear the sound. They're the ones that hear the sound, release the sound in the earth. They're the oracles of God. And that and they're moving in this hour as if transition means shift, then somebody's got to hear to give direction of what the shift looks like. Now, understand, it's not just the prophets that hear. We all hear. Okay, we're prophetic people. We're in a prophetic season. We all hear. And we have to hear. We're in communion with God. We should be hearing something he's saying. Amen. So we all hear. And so when I say that here, I'm not saying that only the prophets hear. But if we go back to, in fact, I guess I'm being led there. Let's go back to Ephesians. I guess I am going to be in there for a minute. Ephesians 4:11. One of the scriptures that we like to define as the fivefold, but they're the ascension gifts, the gifts that Jesus left in the earth as he was ascending into heaven. He left these gifts. And I believe what we're seeing is that we're seeing these five gifts come in alignment with God's eternal plan, that and it has to go back to the fracture of the foundation that was created by Constantine when he took the apostles and prophets out, put bishops in, put leadership in the hands of pastors, and thereby fractured the foundation of God's intent of what the church was to look like. And so we processed down through these years, coming to this place where those fivefold, the apostles and prophets that he put out, are now back in place. And if you look at the history of the church and how these particular ministries, if you would, came into being, we find out that they almost came backward. The teacher, then the shepherd, then the evangelist, then the prophetic movement, and now the apostolic movement. It's like they've come back. Well, to me, if they've come back into the an element of wholeness, that means God is getting ready to shift. Because things are more in place. Now, they aren't in perfect, they're in perfect position, but they're not in mature, they haven't matured to that place yet. And God is operating in that to bring us into an understanding of who we really are in Christ and how he's using us in this season. So if the framework is in place, that means he's getting ready to build into that. He's getting ready to place into that framework those things that were missing because of the breach of the foundation that happened so many years ago. I hope you guys are here understanding what I'm saying. Okay, so now that those places, those fivefold are in place, what happens? What should be happening now? It should be changing the face of the church, because now the wholeness, the completeness is moving in position. And when we look at that whole context, excuse me, in Ephesians 4, pardon me, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those five positions come together to do three things: to perfect the saints, or to make them, or to equip. Would be another translation tweak for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, how we do this ministry, and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith into the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, until the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, till we come in unity of the faith, okay, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now I want to read that out of the Amplified, if you would allow me to do that. And his gifts. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Where are we? And his gifts on the church were varied. And he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives. Now, hear what he said. He himself appointed them, okay, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And let me pause right there. When it says evangelists, and the evangelists are the ones who spread the news of salvation. Jesus never preached the kingdom of salvation. He preached the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And I'm saying that because, once again, there's revelation that the Holy Spirit is bringing us into clarity and understanding that salvation was not the purpose. It was an outcome of the gospel. But the purpose of the gospel was to get the kingdom of heaven and the earth. Okay, and so once again, we see a shift where things were heightened, if you would. Salvation and evangelism was heightened, but it was not heightened balanced with the other four. Okay, everything has to be balanced in these ascension gifts, because if everything becomes apostolic, everything becomes prophetic, everything becomes evangelistic, then what you do, you breach the purpose in which the five had come together. Each one of these five are part of a unit that work together to bring the place of perfection as God would have it, that we would be able to be successful in the church, if you would. Even as he says this, and I put out a note earlier this morning on Facebook, stating that prophets were not discovered by man, but they were unveiled by God, and that they walk hidden among us. You know, we have taken so much possession and authority over the things of God that we kind of left him out of the equation. Even when he's defining, the Amplified defines the apostles as special messengers, representatives, prophets who speak a new message from God to the people. We have to understand that authority that has so plagued mankind of being in control has always kind of poured over into the Word. And so we begin to, after a while, begin to believe our press that we are the authority of such things. But the authority has never changed hands. God is still the authority. He is still the one in charge, and he's still the one that calls the shots, if you would, according to what this whole thing is to look like. So going back to that, Ephesians 4 and 13, till we all come in unity of the faith, the Amplified says, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gift to many. Now, that is verse 13, amen, which is a lot more informative, if you would. It gives us more definition, I should say, than opens up interpretation, however you want to word it, what we want to understand. So, coming to the fullness of the unity is until we all teach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That word oneness, this is, I read that, Jesus' prayer in John 17, that we would be one. When he was talking to the disciples at Mount Olivet, what he was saying to them, that they would eventually become as he is, one with the Father, that we would be unified. This is the position that we're supposed to be in, moving toward, to be one in oneness with the Father, to be in that same place of communion and oneness that Adam was in before he broke covenant. We must always understand that this whole thing is about getting back into God's original intent, his original intent to have a family, his original intent even from the creation. Is that Adam was created for the benefit of the Father, that he would be in union, that he would have you can say a family, someone he would commune with, amen. Even when you look at the Hebrew alphabets and I think Gimel is that third one. It's kind of where the
his created order sits down in the cosmos and becomes that place where he unites with his people. He created us to unite with us. Amen. And to, once again, to create a family to unite. So that oneness, until we all come into the oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of who Jesus is, growing spiritually, which means that we can't stay where we are. Each step is to take us into another level of maturity. This is why we cannot operate as if we're in this place of all knowing, because there's always a greater depth in God. There's always more that he's going to unveil. He can't give us everything at one time. We would choke on it. It's too much. It's like trying to give a six-week-old a piece of steak. It'll never work. You can't. It has to be a maturing that has to happen in our spirit man in order for us to be able to capture everything that God wants us to understand. So it says growing spiritually, become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. And that measure of the fullness of Christ means to become more like him. Our maturing is to take us into place that we become the manifested sons, that we become matured in him, that we become formed in him, that we pick up the characteristics and the mannerisms, I mean the characteristics of him, that we lose ourselves and we get more of him, that our soul is no longer the controlling factor, but the Holy Spirit is, because we've submitted our soul in order to, under the charge of the Holy Spirit, so that the igniting of the fire of who he is, the breath that who he is can breathe into us new life that will blot out the characteristics of the sin nature that we walked in when we were in sin, when we were sinners in the earth, and begin to operate in that place of new creature in Christ Jesus, being forever changed into his likeness. You know what I'm saying? And we, once again, every transition is a part of bringing us into that revelation, because the church, the world is still in need of a visible presence of the church. We were sharing last night, and someone said that they really expect, you know, Jesus to be coming back in the next couple of years or so. And I said, it'll never happen. she looked at me, well, it can't happen. I said, the signs haven't manifested yet. The earth is still groaning, waiting on a manifestation of the signs. God doesn't want to cut the harvest short. He wants the harvest to be in captured. He wants people added to his family. You know, he's not going to cut it off at the pass. So in many instances, we are waiting to get to heaven, and he's waiting for us to get heaven into the earth, because that's what we're here for. We haven't been sitting in the pack and sit by the dock of the bay waiting for the ship to come on. It's not coming. Glory to God. The ship dropped us off. It is not coming to pick us up. Amen. It's coming. He's waiting on us to manifest in the earth. All things have not become his footstool. You know, we're still short. So we can't be thinking about getting to heaven, especially when we carry heaven on the inside of us. We're already in heaven. We already live in both realms. Heaven knows us more than we know heaven. Okay, heaven knows who we are. We live there. We can't be seated with Christ. We can't be seated with him in heavenly places if we're not seated with him in heavenly places. Somebody hear what I'm just saying? Because we don't understand it does not mean it's not exact in the way God has described it. Okay, there's so much more that we need to learn. It would be unfair for God to come and he would not even think about coming and snatching us out. And we're still in the process of getting to the first couple of steps we need in order to get the revelation of who we are to become in the earth. He did not send Jesus to the cross for this to be a quick fix. Okay, he sent him to the cross for redemption to come into the land, and that he once again would have a family that would see, that others would be witness to for the redeeming out of the hands of clutches. He's not trying to build Satan's kingdom. He's trying to diminish it through the harvest. Hear what I'm saying? Amen. We need to get a greater understanding of who we are and why we're in the earth, and understand that it's going to take the revelation of the Holy Spirit as he continues to take us deep and give us greater understanding of the whole process of why we're even here. So, you know, telling people, unpack your bag, you're not going nowhere. Not right now. There's still some things that need to be done. Now, of course, we know God is sovereign. He can come back in the next 15 minutes. I don't think that's getting ready to happen. Amen, but amen. So, yeah, we have to get into a greater depth of understanding this thing that we call church. Once again, one of the reasons that it is impeded so many of us is because the church has taken on human nature more than it has taken on the spiritual nature of Christ. And we have to unwind from that. Amen. We have to get disentangled from humanism and all these other things that seem to be ruling and reigning, okay, over the things of God. Amen. Amen. Once again, to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. Okay, once again, if he left that, we're still waiting to be spiritually complete. We're still waiting to see the gifts of unity activated in the earth. It hasn't happened yet. Amen. We have the verbiage. We talk about unity in the body, but the body is not unified yet. Amen. And I say to people all the time, you know, unity without love is not the unity God is talking about. You know, anybody can unify. You know, as you know, Ku Klux Klan was unified, okay, but that did not put them in the graces of God or anyone else that speaks, you know, violence to God's created order. However it is, just that was one of the things I would say all the time. So that just kind of came easy for me to say. So unity without love is not the unity that Christ is talking about. Amen. Verse 14: so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. Oh, man, that right there, that should be just lifted up, and we should just highlight that. And we could teach into that for about 6 weeks. Because that's what happens to the body of Christ, that we will no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine. What does that mean? It means that anytime there's a new thing that's up and popular, it looks like everybody, not everybody, it's just like this crowd turns and begins to chase after this. And they chase after that until something else, someone says, oh, look over there, they're doing that. And then we turn and we go to shifting and we chasing after that, chasing after every wind of doctrine. Okay. These wind of doctrines are tools being used by hell, Satan, to keep us out of the place of becoming aligned with the purpose and intent of God. And because that's part of human nature, we always tend to follow the crowd. Amen. And when the crowd shifts, we shift with the crowd. We don't ask direction. We just shift with the crowd. And we have no clue where the crowd is going. That's part of our soulish realm. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to hold on to the reins and direct us along the path that we're to be going. So right now we're in this place carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine. And the thing about it, in that shifting and carried away by that wind, nobody stops to ask the question, are we on the right track? Are we on the right train? Are we going in the right direction? Is this God? Okay. No, we just move. And one of the greatest things, the greatest tragedy in the church right now is that the church does not search out a thing to the extent it needs to search out a thing that will cause the earth to shift. Because we came up with truth, that we searched out truth and began to see truth override error. No, it's more comfortable to follow the crowd. It's more comfortable to let somebody else do the work, not understanding that work may not be true and that work may not be of God. Amen. So we're in this place by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for the purpose. And understanding that all of this is operating from the enemy is plotting and planning. He's like the director of a theater, of a play, amen, and you can't see him. But he's directing everything that's going around on a stage, okay? And everything that's going around on the stage is in total opposite of what God intends it to be. But the enemy is directing this. And because we're out of sync with the Holy Spirit in many instances, we move, once again, according to our emotions that are connected with our soulish realm, and we miss the alignment that's needed in order to come into exactness with God. God is not fractured. People of God. God is not fractured. He's not confused. He's not in a place of not knowing what he's doing or where he's going. Why will we follow another trail if the trail of perfection has been laid out before us? That's tied in not only by the blood of the Lamb, but tied in by the directives and the revelations and the operations of the Holy Spirit that has been given access into our very being in order to walk us through that same path. We cannot be mature sons of Christ if we do not know him. We cannot mature in Christ if we do not follow the trail that he leads to get us to that place of maturing. Amen. We can't have another plan. We can't have another understanding. It doesn't shift. It does not become different in this generation. The same amazing grace is going to do the same thing that it did when it was first penned. It's not going to be a song that's going to come in and replace it because of the generation has a need of it. No, everything that's created that we need has been created for God because God has need for it. God has need for us to come in alignment with his purpose and plan. God is not getting ready to renegotiate. He's not getting ready to change his word. He's not getting ready to change his mind. It's all the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think the safe place for all of us is when we understand he's not getting ready to shift because of the generation. He's not getting ready to shift because of a dress code or language shift. He is not shifting. He is the same holy and righteous God. And he's not getting ready to give us a pass because we decide we want to operate in a different way. See, human nature never changes. It's always the same. The only thing that changes with human nature is the dress code. Amen. Human nature is human nature. Amen. It's going to always have that part of the engagement of the tree, either the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's never going to change. Amen. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things unto him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. And then it says, from him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building it up in unselfish love. Okay, and why did I go there? Okay, because prophets are needed in this. Hear what I'm saying? The whole fivefold are needed in this. So when God says and he begins to give impressions, I'm building up the prophets. I'm bringing them forth. I am releasing them. I'm unveiling them. They're already walking among us. So now I'm unveiling them. Okay. Is this a man or woman that stands on the pulpit and begins to operate in the role of the prophet? No, a prophet is anywhere. They can be in arts and entertainment, in education, in government, in media, in the family, in whatever societal sphere that is part of the creation of the world. The prophet is needed because God is everywhere present. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. There's nothing where, there's no place God is shut out. So if God's not shut out, all those components that are attached to him, connected to him, are needful in that place because it has one purpose, that we will come in alignment with God's eternal purpose and plan, that we will be snatched out of the pits of hell, snatched out of the grips of Satan, and released into the place that in which he created us to have life forevermore in him. him as part of his family, and that the earth would come in alignment with his purpose, because it would stop running confused and running into brick walls because it has no way to go. It has no direction. Well, he can't get direction until the church finds its direction and comes in the right place in alignment with God. So this is where we are in this hour. This is what I'm seeing the Lord do in this season, bring us in a place of exact alignment with him. And I'm telling you, he is doing it with the prophets. And in the last Monday last week, he said to me that the room was being made for another company of prophets that are coming. And when he gave it to me, I could actually hear the cadence of their, I could hear their cadence as they were moving forward. And he said there were the oracles that were coming forward. See, we need to understand, you know, they say, well, you know, that prophets are in caves. No, they're not in caves. Many of them are in waiting. I said this, I've said it before, and I had an opportunity to say it again last night, that we think that because prophets aren't showing up, they're hidden in caves. No, they aren't hidden in caves. It's not time yet. God has an exact time for us all to show up on the scene. Whatever the gift is, he has an exact time for us to show up. We're never late and we're never early. We're an exact, if we are purposing in our heart to be in alignment with his will for our lives, he'll never have us late and he'll never have us early. And I said to someone one day, you understand this, sometimes that wait is a pause for somebody to catch up with you, that you need them to catch up with you so that the two or the three or how many can begin to process forward together. Nobody's late and nobody's early. And we've got to understand that we are in the exact timing of God, and that in that timing of God, he has a reason why there's a wait. Sometimes that wait is our R&R to get rest, because we're getting ready to hit double speed shortly. And God gives us a season where he draws us away, draws us aside, sit us down so we get more word and get more spiritual strength, if you would. Because when the gates open, we don't take off running, and we're not going to stop running until another R&R comes. Amen. So it's not a place. We can't let our minds and let the enemy play with our minds and say, well, I miss God. How are you going to miss something if someone is always present? Okay, you can't miss him. Okay, you can't miss him. And so and that comes in being able to hear once again. And we can hear with our eyes. We can read scripture and hear just as plainly what God is saying by reading the word, because our revelation is not coming from our ear itself. It's coming from our spirit man. We've got to hear this. It's coming from that place of us, our creation, that we can't see, that place is outside the realm of human flesh. That place of spirit that's moving in spirit even now. We aren't all contained in this body. We're spirit beings. Our spirit is even now engaged with spirits that are all around us. That's another lesson. I'm not trying to go there. I'm just trying to open our understanding and give us a broader awareness of who we are in the earth, because the enemy would have us thinking that we're just these little structures that are moving in the earth, doing these little religious things. No, we've been sent in the earth to govern the earth. Hear that word, to govern the earth. If Psalm 115:16 says, once again, the heavens belong to the Lord, the earth he's given to the children of men. What does that mean? He's given us the earth that will bring his presence to bear in the earth. Thy kingdom come, and I say it all the time, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven does not mean God's going to come down and get it done. No, he sent us down with a portion of himself in us. Hear me, with a portion of himself in us. And we are his resident agent in the earth. Oh, God, Holy Ghost, I like that. We are his resident agent in the earth. He has put the Holy Ghost in us in order to accomplish what needs to be done in the earth. He is still sitting judge. It's the King Eternal. He is still sitting. He's not coming down here because he's already here through us. Glory to God. My, if we get that working in our lives, we can cut off a whole lot of frustration. If we get that revelation of who we actually are and the real reason we're in the earth, we can cut away a whole lot of the frustration. And I'm saying to you that God is opening doors. And even now, we're crossing thresholds, and that's what's included in this message that I, the post I put up the other day, that he said that we are, he's releasing the prophets through doors. And that means that it's not just the prophets are going, anybody with an ear to hear is moving. He was speaking specifically to prophets at that point, but anybody can hear God. We're all part, once again, of a prophetic people. We're still carrying his image. We're still hearing his voice. He's still ordering our steps. Hear what I'm saying? We're still in the process of moving forward because there's a dying world out there that will not receive a witness unless we bear the witness to them and bring them out of darkness into the marvelous light through the workings of the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to show us, shine a light on them, and get us out of that path so that we can now leave that life behind and become new creatures, truly new creatures, in Christ Jesus in this time of season. Amen. Whew, glory to God. Amen. Okay, so I need you to digest that. I need you to get that in your spirit. I need you to get ready because, listen, if we miss the opportunity of going through the open door that's already open, it won't be because God closed it. It'll be because we missed it. And if we missed it, it won't be because it wasn't there. We weren't hearing. And we've got to hear. We've got to stop. I say this all the time. We've got to stop and be still so we can hear what the Lord is saying. We cannot hear the new word of the Holy Ghost in familiar noise. Hear me. We cannot hear a new word in familiar noise. Amen. That noise is going to always supersede a new word. Our sensitivities, our hearing, our spiritual hearing isn't geared up that we can hear the new in the midst of clamor. It's never going to happen. So if someone says to you, God is releasing a new thing, then it says to me, well, I guess I need to be still and find some time to set aside so I won't miss the new, because they didn't tell me what the new looked like. Hear me, somebody. They didn't give me a description of the new. You know, they didn't say the new was coming in the form of da-da-da-da, and it would be wearing da-da-da-da-da, and it would be saying da-da. It didn't give me any of that. It just said a new thing. So what's a new thing? It defines itself. Ah, hear me. It defines itself. We can't define it. Well, if we can't define it, that means the only way we can know it is allow it to define itself. The only way it can define itself and it be relative to us is that we have to make room for it. Hear what I am saying to you. We have to make room for it to define itself because this is a short window, okay? This is not a place where this window is going to be open from now on. God, we don't know the timing of God, and it's dangerous to wait for tomorrow, okay? Because tomorrow may not come, okay? We need to, when Revelation hit, we need to get into that revelation on that day. You know, if not in that moment, on that day, we need to set aside because God, listen, and hear me clearly, God never brings you to a place of revelation that he does not intend for you to receive the revelation. He does not bring you to a door that he does not intend for you to step across the threshold. The going across the threshold is predicated on our readiness when it's time to move. Time to move. So you can never say, well, I miss God. No. Well, you can never say that you missed an opportunity. No, you weren't prepared for the opportunity. You didn't wait. You weren't alert. You didn't move. You didn't prepare yourself. You missed it because you weren't prepared. If you didn't miss it because it wasn't there. It was there. You just weren't prepared. Why? Because our sensitivities were not in that place where we would understand the time and season of what to do in this particular moment in time. Amen. And I'm telling you that the door is open and thresholds are being crossed. Even now, thresholds are being crossed. And people are moving from places of darkness into places of light. Those things that have been challenging you in the last few months have been challenging you to get you to come in agreement with the challenge and not in agreement with the victory that's hidden by the challenge. Hear what I'm saying to you today, that every challenge is covered in victory. And we need to understand that the only way we can peel back that challenge is to understand and trust God that he will show us where the victory is if we put an effort in the act like we want to know where it is. Amen. And stop falling out in the dead, faint at the challenge, but understand the challenge is a deceptive means of the enemy to keep us from seeing the truth that's hidden, or it's the challenge that God allows to strengthen our spiritual muscles so that we can go with unsheathed sword and decapitate the demon that's standing in our path and make way to get to that place that God has ordained for us before the foundation of the earth. Hear what I'm saying. It's predicated on us. Okay, God's already set the standard. He's already done it. And now all we have to do is move in it. But we have to move in it according to his purpose and according to his plan. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Wow. Amen. I poured out. And I know you've heard me. Yeah, I know you've captured it. But you have to, not only do we have to take possession of these things that God is putting in us, but we have to take possession in such a manner that we can pour out into somebody else. It's not just for us. It's for others. Somebody is waiting to hear truth that we possess. Glory to God. And God will allow them to come across our path to receive the truth that we possess. Amen. That's our witness. That's how we witness to a lost generation. And the more sensitive we become to God's purpose and plan in our own personal life, the more sensitive we'll become to those strangers we pass by on the street or in the supermarket or wherever we are, and we pick up an alertness in our spirit that you need to stop and or smile and say hello, or you need to just whisper a prayer, or he may have you in a place where you need to lay hands. Because wherever he has put you and whatever instruction he's given you, he's given the recipient the grace to receive it. Hear what I'm saying. God would never tell you to do anything if you were going to get a rejection or an objection that was going to put you in danger. God has always set the scene. He always has a giver and he always has a receiver. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm out of time. Bless the Lord. But I just want to, oh, man. Catch this, guys. Catch it. And I know you are. Catch it and be encouraged. It's getting ready to be an increase like never before. Say goodbye to the trappings that the enemy was trying to lock your feet in so that you would feel like you were losing hope. You can say goodbye to that. It was a trick. Amen. It was a deception. It was Satan's opportunity to try to pull us off course. But somebody need to say, you should have got me when you had me. It's too late now. Amen. Glory to God. So once again, I'm going to begin to close out. Just want you to be encouraged. Once again, in Detroit, well, all over the nation, to know that Detroit is praying a 40-day prayer mantle that's up, moving, and it will move until the 21st of January. But the Lord says it may, that 40-day may end, but the impact of that prayer is going to continue. I don't know what God is doing, but he's doing it here. If he's doing it here, he's doing it across the nation. We have to be sensitive in the times and season. Let me say this. Transitions do not come for us to sit and watch them go by. Transitions come that we may be part of them. Here's me. It's not just something we sit on the porch and watch go by. We are to become part of them. Amen. So if we haven't got a foot in the water yet, then go start testing the water with the help of the Holy Ghost and find out just what portion you play in this season of transition. Amen. So once again, those of you in Detroit, you can connect with us through intercessorywatchdetroit@gmail.com. In fact, anybody around the nation can do that because we have people around the nation that are praying into Detroit. But I just wanted you to know that. And amen. So, Father, we bless and thank and magnify you. We give you praise. We honor you. We lift you up. We thank you for your message to us today. We thank you for bringing us to this door, to this portal, to this gate. We thank you for this open opportunity to step across now, and not only step across, but have the keys that will allow us to open other chambers as we move on the other side. We thank you for that, what you've done, and for that we give you praise. I speak over the lives of every listener. Speak over the life of those that may be listening by internet. I declare today is the day of the best days of your life, and that what the enemy could not do, he can't do any longer, because you moved ahead another step, another two, out of his grip, out of his grasp, and out of his plan. Trust God in this hour. He has you, and he's carrying you according to his purpose, for the very reason that you are still in the earth, that he will be honored and glorified by your presence. So, Father, I thank you that we declare it, we decree it, and it shall be, and for that we give you praise. So I wish everyone a happy, happy, prosperous, very prosperous, clean new year. Amen. As we move forth, Father, we celebrate it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. And as we will say, Yeshua, HaMashiach, we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Have a glorious midnight. Have a wonderful 2018. And we will connect next week. Amen. God bless you.